Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
It's being called a national health crisis. Fatal overdoses from opioid drugs like OxyContin and heroin. They kill about 16,000 Americans every year, and they now outrank car accidents as the leading cause of accidental death in many states, including here in Massachusetts. Boston, in fact, ranks first among all metropolitan areas for emergency department visits involving heroin. But many of these deaths could be avoided. That's according to Leo Beletsky, a professor of law and health sciences at Northeastern University, who wrote about this recently on WBUR's Common Health blog. And Dr. Beletsky, thanks for coming in. It's great to have you.
Thanks so much for having us.
So first of all, what drugs are we talking about and who's abusing them?
We're talking about opioid medications, which is basically a class of drugs that describes any medicines that are derived from opium, so like morphine, or synthetic drugs that mirror opium. This includes very popular pain medications like OxyContin, Vicodin, and so forth. And interestingly, heroin also is in the same class of drugs. It's very similar to these other prescription medications.
Now, in your Common Health piece, and you also wrote about this, by the way, in the Journal of the American Medical Association, you say there are some straightforward things that many of us can do to stop overdoses from becoming fatal. What are they?
The key issue is that a lot of people don't recognize an overdose when they see it because it looks like a person is just nodding off or falling asleep. So a lot of times when people are experiencing an overdose, is a process that takes anywhere from a half an hour to an hour and a half or longer, meaning that once a person starts getting into that state, they're not dead for about an hour and a half.
So that's a critical period during which we could actually do something to save their lives.
It's a critical window of opportunity, and it's very rare to be able to intervene for such a long period of time to save a life.
So what are the signs of overdose that people should be aware of?
Blue lips, blue nails, and discoloration in the skin, so ashen skin, and shallow breathing. Those are the telltale signs of overdose. It's important to know those signs, and also if you know that a person is taking opioid medication, to be on the lookout for those signs so that you can intervene when the person is experiencing an overdose.
Now, you also write, and this I found fascinating, about an antidote called naloxone that specifically targets opioids and can halt an overdose and prevent brain damage and death. How does naloxone work and how quickly does it act?
Naloxone is also an opioid drug, but the only effect that it has on the body is basically to counteract the other effects of opioid drugs. So what it does is it kicks out those drugs from brain receptors and it essentially reverses any kind of effect that an opioid medication is having on the body. And it actually, it's very quick acting, takes about 3, 4, 5 minutes to totally reverse an overdose.
So, I mean, it really is a life-saving drug. Why isn't it being prescribed more widely? Why isn't it being used more widely?
There's several issues at play. The first one is that prescribing naloxone to people who are taking opioid medications is not a widely accepted practice. It's being prescribed in that way in some areas. So, for example, in North Carolina, there's a big project to encourage doctors to prescribe this antidote. And also there's a project in the U.S. Army, actually, at Fort Bragg to make sure the veterans who are taking pain medications are not succumbing to overdose, which is a big problem with returning veterans. So the fact that it's a new innovative practice is one of the reasons why it's not being done more widely. Another big issue is that physicians and others are concerned that if they prescribe this medication, it'll encourage people to use drugs in a more risky manner.
So it would sort of send the wrong message about drug use.
People are concerned that it would essentially disinhibit people to take more drugs, knowing that they have this safety belt, if you will.
Well, Massachusetts has actually led the nation in pilot prevention programs that use naloxone. And joining us now is Alexander Wally. He's a professor of medicine at Boston University School of Medicine and the medical director of both Boston's opioid treatment program and also of the state's opioid overdose prevention program. And Alex Wally, welcome to Radio Boston. Great to have you.
Great to be here. Thanks very much. very much.
So let me ask you about this program. In 2006, I understand the Boston Public Health Commission started their pilot program that provided education and distribution of naloxone. Tell us how the program works.
Initially, this program, like other programs across the country, started in harm reduction groups. So in Boston, it really started in the Needle Exchange, which was a community-based effort to reduce the transmission of HIV. Overdose was initially recognized as a crisis among heroin users, and where you're most likely to find heroin users who are actively using is at a needle exchange. And so it made a lot of sense for people to do overdose education and prevention counseling through these places where you're likely to see high-risk people. In addition to the education and counseling, the idea came to bundle it with a naloxone rescue kit or a Narcan rescue kit. So this is a kit that contains two doses of naloxone. And what's great about the Massachusetts program is we use an intranasal form. So there isn't a risk of a needle stick when somebody delivers a dose of naloxone to somebody who's overdosing.
I see. Now, you mentioned the state program because there's actually a program run by the Massachusetts Department of Public Health now. How successful have these programs been?
Well, so since 2006, when this started in Boston, the program has really spread to 14 other communities now. So far, we have trained over 15,000 people, potential bystanders to overdoses in Massachusetts, and we have documented over 1,500 overdose rescues using the naloxone rescue kit.
Wow. So it saved a lot of lives. We heard from Leo Beletsky that one of the issues that prevents widespread acceptance of overdose prevention programs like this is that if you make drugs like naloxone widely available, you're sending the wrong message about drug use. What's your response to that?
Well, first it comes from people I know in treatment settings who, if you talk to them, the last thing they want to do is receive a dose of naloxone when they're using drugs because it reverses the effects of the heroin or the prescription opioids that they've taken in order to get high. So again, that's really the last thing somebody wants. Drug users or opioid users are only going to use this when they really need it.
Mm-hmm.
I think some of the same moral hazard arguments have been made when people, for example, legislated the introduction of seatbelts. That people would drive riskier if they wore seatbelts. A lot of public health initiatives that have been created over history, really, we've seen these same sort of arguments. But I think in the end, in the final analysis, you're going to end up doing more good than harm by giving people the tools to reverse a deathly event.
Sure. And Leo Beletsky, let me ask you, there's also a perception out there that when we talk about this as a national health crisis, we're talking about a rather small and defined community of drug abusers. But in your piece, you make the fact that overdose victims represent all classes, races, age groups, right?
That's absolutely right. There's been an evolution really over time from heroin overdose, opioid overdose being localized to a certain pretty marginalized community to it now becoming absolutely cross-cutting national issues. So, for example, we now see overdose affecting a lot of rural communities, so communities in Appalachia, here in Boston. South Shore is incredibly hard hit with overdose, just hundreds of people dying of overdoses. Places like Brockton, also places in Cape May like Gloucester are very, very hard hit. You know, incredibly complex problems, so there's a lot of untreated pain or undertreated pain. Healthcare access is one of the issues. There are mental health issues, substance abuse issues. So as we work on these more broader prevention issues, the reality is that we have an opportunity to prevent fatality so that we can then help the person get into drug treatment.
Once you save a life, you can work on the long-term prevention strategies, right?
Exactly. Yeah. It's really an urgent crisis. And that's where things like learning about signs and symptoms of overdose, calling for help in a timely manner, and being able to intervene to save a life are really critical.
And Alexander Wally, what can be done to increase acceptance of overdose prevention programs like the one that you've described?
One thing we've done really well in Massachusetts is we have worked with parents groups. The fact is when somebody overdoses, it affects the whole community, and particularly that person's family. There's a group called Learn to Cope that is expanding rapidly in eastern Massachusetts to really provide support and services for parents. They're some of our fastest growing trainees. They are now equipped with these naloxone rescue kits and are using them to save their family members. One of the biggest problems is really the prescribing of prescription opioids. I think it's difficult but a necessary thing for prescribers to balance between pain and the risk of addiction. And so I don't advocate for reducing the prescription of pain medications or stopping them. However, they do need to be monitored and patients need to be informed. One tool that we can provide our patients is overdose education, and in cases when people are taking home high doses of opioids, a naloxone rescue kit.
A lot of education still to do. Well, thank you for your help in this regard. That's Alexander Wally. He's a professor of medicine at Boston University School of Medicine and the medical director of both Boston's opioid treatment program and the state's opioid overdose prevention program. Alexander Wally, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
And Leo Beletsky is a professor of law and health sciences at Northeastern University. Leo, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks so much. I'm a big fan of WBUR Radio Boston, so it's great to be here.
Glad to hear it. You can find a link to the Common Health Post as well as to a piece co-authored by Alexander Wally and Leo Beletsky in the Journal of the American Medical Association at radioboston.org. And stay with us. Coming up, we have Stephen Schwartz in the studio. He's the multi-award-winning composer behind the musicals Wicked, Godspell, and Pippin, of which a new production is coming to the ART. Stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.